In any other year, a big win in South Carolina would all but anoint a presidential candidate as the nominee. Donald Trump has that now, and his big win in New Hampshire with support across various age and income groups in the Republican Party, he should be a shoo-in. But this is no ordinary year. And Trump is no ordinary candidate. Joining us now to talk about the Republican race for president is NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. Hey there, Mara.
Hi, Audie.
All right, so there is no doubt about this, right? Donald Trump is the clear front runner.
He is the front runner, and normally we'd say someone who won the New Hampshire primaries by a huge margin, as you said, and the South Carolina primaries by a huge margin would be the prohibitive front runner. And I don't think you can find a Republican candidate who won both those primaries and didn't go on to become the nominee. But that being said, this isn't a typical election year, and there are many Republicans who think either A, it's just not possible for Trump to be the nominee, or B, it would be terrible for the party if he became the nominee.
And we keep hearing about this fear and frustration over Trump, but why hasn't the establishment really taken him on? I mean, how does an opponent challenge a candidate like Trump?
Well, that's a good question. The establishment has taken him on in fits and starts. Jeb Bush, you could say, fell on his sword trying to take on Donald Trump. Trump and Ted Cruz have been battling for similar slices of the vote in Iowa and South Carolina, and Cruz has attacked Trump ideologically, saying he's not a real conservative. And there are currently a variety of super PACs running ads attacking Trump. And here's just a sample of a new pro-Rubio super PAC ad that takes aim at both Cruz and Trump.
We live in dangerous times, terrorism growing, the economy teetering, the Supreme Court in the balance. Trump, erratic, unreliable. Cruz, calculated, underhanded.
As you can hear, Rubio supporters are trying a new tack. They're attacking Trump for what polls tell us is his biggest weakness, his temperament. We'll see if that makes a difference, since nothing else has so far.
I want to get into this more because, you know, it sounds like we know what a Trump-Cruz fight sounds like. What would a Trump-Rubio fight sound like?
Well, we're not sure yet, but if that ad is an indication, Rubio, who has been very reluctant to take Trump on directly, might go after his temperament. A while ago, he once said that Trump was insecure. Trump in the past has said Rubio sweated a lot, and yesterday he retweeted a tweet that suggested Rubio might not be eligible to be president because his parents were born in Cuba. That was similar to his attacks on Cruz, who was born in Canada to American parents. Trump has said he only counterattacks. He only responds to attacks on him. And if Rubio did attack him, he could conceivably unload on Rubio and accuse him of being owned lock, stock and barrel by billionaires while Trump is self-financing. He could say that Rubio's been in elected office all his life, the one private sector job or one of the few private sector jobs he did have, teaching a college course. His salary was paid for by Norman Brayman, one of Rubio's deep-pocketed supporters in Florida, who also employs Rubio's wife. But Rubio could try to take on Trump directly the way Jeb Bush did, to say that he's intolerant, he denigrates minorities. But we don't know if that kind of fight will happen because Rubio and Cruz have been very busy attacking each other. And the longer this race goes on with more than two candidates in it, the better it is for Donald Trump. Polls show that either Cruz or Rubio could beat Trump if the race was a two-man race, but neither Rubio nor Cruz has an incentive to drop out anytime soon.
That's NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. Mara, thank you.
Thank you.